This morning we share a passage that we had really a lot of fun with on Tuesday at Panera. It's 9 o'clock, Panera Bread every Tuesday. It's where we have our study, and it's a lectionary study, so we're looking at a text that's going to be coming up the following Sunday. And of course, I get ideas. Thank you. This is reading from the Gospel of John, and actually I'm going to start with the 35th verse of this passage because it's a fascinating interaction with the disciples. The next day, John the Baptist again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter, and which means the rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." May God bless this reading to us because this is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. When it comes to famous people, their famous last words are often remembered. In the case of Jesus, just think how many sermons must have been written around the words from the cross, "It is finished." But what about Jesus' first words, the first thing he says in the Gospel of John? Do you remember what they were? He asked a question. She often did. He asked, "What do you seek?" Now, as we've gathered by now, the words of Jesus were written in Greek language in the New Testament. Although he spoke Aramaic, which is a variant of Hebrew, but the writers of all four Gospels chose their words in Greek very carefully, sometimes so carefully so that they could be vague. Huh? Yes, Greek words can have many, many meanings. And in this case, Jesus could be saying, "What are you seeking?" Or, "What are you searching for?" Or, "What are you looking for?" You'll notice he doesn't ask who they seek, search for, or look for, because they don't know. Except John the Baptist just pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, there's the Lamb of God." So, "What are you seeking?" is a more appropriate question now, isn't it? And Jesus also in the Greek could mean to say, "What is it you are trying to do?" That'd be a good translation. Or, "What are you attempting? What are you striving for? What do you want?" What do you ask? What do you ask for? What do you demand? What do you require? What do you expect? What do you consider, deliberate, examine, investigate? Very precise. Wow, if we could honestly ask ourselves any of these questions and honestly, partially answer them for our own lives, what a profound impact that would have upon us. But you'll also notice that they do not answer Jesus' question, do they? This happens throughout the Gospels. They ask Jesus a question, he doesn't answer. He asks them a question, they don't answer. So maybe the questions are more important than the answers. Well, what they said is, where are you staying? So they answered his question with a question. Now, this was a polite way in those times for a potential student of a known rabbi to ask, may I hear you, follow you, learn from you by being with you for a while? And Jesus replies, come and see. He didn't really answer the question. He just says, come and see. But it is an implied yes. Come and see. You know, the Presbyterian denomination as a whole often has a yearly theme for a whole year. And one of my favorite themes over all these years of ministry is one that I took very seriously, and it was, come and see what God has done. That was the theme for the year. It's very scriptural. It's taken from Psalm 61. It also comes from the lips of Jesus. Because Jesus knows that people are not only drawn to God with promises of reward, as some religious traditions try to assert, for such a motivation is simply self-interest, not communion with God. And people, Jesus knew, were also not drawn to God by threats of punishment, as other religious movements have pursued. For the root meaning of the term fear of the Lord, I always wondered about that. The term fear of the Lord does not mean terror of what God might do, but rather, a better translation is incredible awe at who and what God is. And so the most wonderful scriptural spiritual evangelism, friends, is simply an invitation. Come and see. Come and see what God has done. Come and see what God is doing. Come and see what God is about to do. Now, one of those who spent those, say, 24 hours with Jesus was Andrew. Now, Andrew was so convinced by the time with Jesus that he then went to his brother Peter and he proclaimed, "We found the Messiah." And the rest, as we say, is history. The closing words of the gospel lesson for today have Philip also responding to a question about Jesus, not with defense or explanation, but simply saying to Nathanael's statement, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He says, well, come and see. Come and see. They've already learned something very important about Jesus, that the gospel is not spread by convincing arguments. The gospel is spread by sharing an encounter with Christ himself. So there are two parts here, it seems to me, to fulfill God's calling. One is to recognize that God does call us. And secondly, that we need to come and see what it is God wants. The only thing is that sometimes the calling from God comes in ways we don't expect, and sometimes the calling from God comes from other people instead of from a divine voice. Half a century ago, there were two local congregations looking for a new pastor. They both invited the same young man, a recent graduate from Boston University School of Theology, to come preach. And he asked each pulpit committee about what should I preach? And they both responded, as church committees often do, preach about your dreams, about your visions. The young preacher first went to Chattanooga and preached his dreams and visions at the First Baptist Church. The congregation heard his sermon, did not believe his vision of the holy city of God, and they rejected him as a possible pastor. Now, he was surprised and shaken by this turndown. But he then made his way to the second church, which was called Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. And he preached again his dreams and visions to that congregation. And the Dexter Avenue Church believed his vision of the holy city. And they called him to be their pastor, and he accepted. Within a few short months, a black woman in that city named Rosa Parks refused to go to the back of a city bus when instructed to do so in those segregated times. And the black leadership of Montgomery turned to one of their newest pastors, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, to lead a crusade that eventually tore down the final walls of legal segregation. In our Old Testament lesson today, we shared a rather important episode also in the lives of the Hebrews. For this young boy, hearing the calling of God, this boy Samuel, is the one who grows up to anoint the first and second kings of Israel, Saul and then King David. Those are poignant words in the text we often overlook. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Some people might say that's a very apt description of our day and times, isn't it? The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Especially with turmoil between nations and within our own nation in many parts of the world. And yet, in the midst of a time that was quite a time of turmoil for the Israelites, when Samuel was young, it was a young boy whom the text says did not yet know the Lord, who hears the voice of God and does indeed come and see what God was doing. I've been interested to read that the term vocation, which we often use to talk about the commitment of ourselves to a job, is from the Latin term vocare. It means to be called out, to hear and respond to a voice. And the Greek word for church, ekklesia, means exactly the same thing, to be called out. I wonder how much or how often, if at all, Christians have a sense of vocation about what they do with Christ, or do in Christ or for Christ, or do we simply ascribe to a religious system? Some time back, the San Francisco Examiner newspaper carried a photograph of a 67-year-old black man who had a smile that went from ear to ear. Light was coming from his eyes, extraordinary. And the accompanying story told about a man who had been for all his life a longshoreman and had retired at the age of 65. He by then was an alcoholic. He visited the same bar every day. But one day he found he was bored and he decided, as he put it, to ask the universe for help. He didn't really expect an answer. But then he heard a little voice inside him saying that he should go out and buy a broom and a cart. There was no doubt in his mind that for the first time in his life he had heard the voice of God. He was then instructed to spend each day sweeping the streets and sidewalks around the Mission High School. And that he did. And he stopped drinking. And he soon found that he had become the surrogate grandfather for many of these students, and the kids dearly loved him and his wonderful smile. After getting to know this man, no student would dare throw trash in the street. The story goes on, this man wasn't after recognition. He only wanted to do God's work. He said he had never felt as happy and peaceful as he now does. And he knows that his mission in life is to be a messenger of God's love, and the form of his giving is to sweep the streets and sidewalks and to become friends with the students of the high school. The answer to the disciples' question, "Lord, where are you staying?" was finally answered. because they found that Christ is staying, that Christ resides wherever the person of faith happens to be, and in the midst of whatever the person of faith is about. Whether we're called to keep a sidewalk clean or to fight the core of racism, God chooses to work through us. We are called. As a congregation of God's people, let's not decide beforehand what God can and will do with us. Instead, let's find ourselves listening for that voice of God which says, "Follow me." I'd like to invite our elder, Gretchen O'Kane, to lead us in a litany of call that's in the bulletin. And we are called, vocare, we are called, ecclesia, and the only response we need to make is, "Here I am, send me."
A child once dreamed the voice was calling his name, Samuel. Fishermen once heard the voice when a young man bid them follow. And still the voice beckons today. Can you hear?
Here I am. Send me.
Moses protested vehemently as the voice spoke at the burning bush. Mary stood amazed as the voice proclaimed impending birth. And still the voice beckons today. Can you hear?
Here I am. Send me.
Rosa Parks followed the voice to the front of the bus. Martin Luther King Jr. heard the voice as the bullet shattered. And still the voice beckons today. Can you hear?
Here I am. Send me.
The voice beckons from humble places, in the tears of hungry children, in the cries of the frail and frightened elderly, in the pleas of those whose dreams have been too long deferred. And still the voice beckons today. Can you hear?
Here I am. Send me.
A timid believer pauses to listen to the voice. A struggling church hears the voice and turns, and still the voice beckons today. Can you hear?
Here I am. Send me.